Okay, we're all set then. All right, then let's begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, February 25th, 2013, at about 6:10 p.m. Would you mind to take a quick look at and review your minutes for the January 28th meeting?
I'm good with the minutes.
Okay. Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, have you had an opportunity to look at the minutes for the Finance Committee?
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay. All right, then we'll move on to the first order of business this evening, and that will be to print the recommendation, and Mike Wood will be presenting that.
And we're hitting the end of our five-year lease commitment with our fleet of printers. The way we had structured it 5 years ago is we brought in half of that fleet. I think it was about 217 black and white printers. These are the classroom printers. And the year after that, we brought in another 100, which comprised the entirety of our printer fleet. This year, the way we structured it, both of those leases expire at the same time, which allows us to replace the entire fleet all at the same time. This way we can unify that hardware platform. So we're not looking at separate hardware platforms. And consolidated that down to a single hardware platform. It's the HP M401N printer is the one we landed on for our classrooms, as well as for office use. And we also bundled that in with our color printers, since those are also coming off of lease this year. We looked at several different hardware manufacturers and several different models. We landed on the HP. Again, we talked to a few of our vendors to get some pricing, and the pricing's on the board report if you have that in front of you. The HP desktop printer came in from Tiger Direct at $232.99, and the color printer is $1,156.20. Now, one thing to note on the color printer is in the past we've always gone with sort of a much bigger, heavier duty production model color printer. Having looked at our print counts over the last several years, they've really come down a great deal. They didn't warrant purchasing one of those bigger production models that can be a lot more expensive than the one that we landed on. So what that allows us to do is actually purchase two color printers for each building, which will give us more accessibility for teachers and staff. We can position those at opposite ends of the building so they're easier to get to, as well as if we have one printer down, we still have one available for everybody in the building to use. So we bundled those both together. Tiger Direct came in at the lowest price for those, just under $90,000. They're at $89,953.95. That is for 310 of the desktop color, black and white printers and 11 of the color printers, and that's also with an additional high capacity drawer that will allow for up to 1,100 pages to be stored in those printers. This will cover the entire printer fleet for the district, all grade schools, the junior high, as well as CSO. So our recommendation is to move forward with this. Also, the lease that's expiring is a fair market value lease. So at the end of the term of this lease, which would expire, I believe, in June, those printers will all go back to the leasing company. We won't retain any of those. So we also want to absorb any of the cost of having them removed. American Capital takes care of all that for us. We just have to station those in a position in the building. They'll come up and pick them up for us at no cost. So it saves us the cost of disposal or removal as well. So our recommendation is to move forward with a five-year fair market value lease with this fleet as well. At the end of the term of that lease, these printers would also go back to the leasing company. Any questions about that?
Mike, do I understand it's so right now you have 11 high-capacity black and white, 6 high-capacity color, and you're saying at the end it would be 11 color?
No, it's just it's 11 color printers, and the other 11 is just for the drawers, for the additional drawer. It's actually 310 of the black and white desktops.
Mike, so you're turning 11. So the 500 sheet drawer goes with 11 of the HP M401s.
No, that's just the color. Those are from the 4025s.
So that I guess. Because I see two printers listed
Right.
But I've heard you talk about three different types of printers, a regular black and white, a high-capacity black and white, a high-capacity color.
Well, we used to have, in the previous rollout, we had the high-capacity black and white. This is just, the black and whites are just desktop printers. They're not high-capacity. They're just meant for classroom use. And the color printer, I mentioned that as the high-capacity, which we had previously. This is more of just a standard tabletop color printer. And the 11 extra are for those drawers. Those are for the drawers for the color printers. Those are the 4025s.
So, but it says you had 11 high-capacity black and white. But you're saying you're not going to replace those?
Oh, correct. That was the 4000 series. Those were the ones we previously had in the office areas and in the labs.
Okay.
Those we won't replace. We'll use the standard desktops that we'll use in the classroom to fill in for those office printers as well as the lab printers.
And then I was just curious, you said 310 black and white. What is our staff count? Like teachers, staff?
Somewhere around
274?
About 250 teachers, about 450
And I look at it more like room count. So there's about 188 classrooms within the district, not counting offices. So pretty much it covers every room that in the district, including CSO.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out where the 310
came from. It's pretty much the same quantity that we always had. I think we had 317 in the last rollout. But in some areas, we're not going to need printers again. The art tech lab that said he wasn't going to use a printer this coming year. So I didn't allow for that. So there were a few that had fallen off. So 317 is what we had ordered in the previous rollout. And here we're proposing 310.
So 310 would be every classroom in the district and office areas within the district.
So we share printers with, I mean, does
some cases,
you know, like five people share a printer or something, you're not printing all the time?
In some cases, that's true. Office areas.
In office areas, yeah.
The telemation area off at Lincoln, if you're familiar with that, that's kind of a big open space. Mm-hmm. A lot of staff share that area. We generally just put a printer there. So in some cases, depending on the circumstance, we do have sharing of printers. But in most cases, it's classrooms. It's you know, one teacher in that room that uses it.
Thanks.
And just as a side note, total cost of this project is just under $90,000. When we ordered the black and white, just the black and white printers, in the previous rollout, it was about $117,000. That did not count the color printers, which were, I think, about $7,000 a piece. So
why the difference in...
It's not as high capacity a printer on the color. Mm-hmm. And even with the black and whites, there's a couple of features that, like duplexing, that wouldn't be, there's manual duplexing rather than auto duplexing.
Mm-hmm.
So we scaled back a little bit on some of the features that we felt like we could probably live without and save on the cost.
Yeah, that's good.
Like the existing printers that are coming off lease, are they showing signs of age? I mean, are they getting ready to go?
One of the first batch that we had purchased, the 2015 printers, were a faulty batch right out of the box. So we had nothing but issues with those since we've had them. The controller boards were faulty. So in the 5 years that we had them, we've constantly had those under service or being replaced. So those show wear since the day we got them. The 2055s have held up pretty well. But after 5 years, even with a reliable printer, you're going to start to see more breakdowns, more mechanical failures, and more service issues that come up with those. So we try to head that off before we get to the point where we're seeing so many mechanical issues with the printers that we struggle with.
Okay. Gotcha.
Any more questions for Mike then? Okay, thank you, Mike. Next order of business then this evening will be the purchase of the state system for Skyward through time implementation. As you know, a number of years ago, we purchased the Skyward finance and human resource software system for the district. Over the past several years, we have continued to implement modules that were purchased as part of that initial implementation. Last year, we moved our student software system to Skyward also. What we're looking to do is do a full implementation of the TrueTime system, and that will require a capital expenditure of $20,132, which is for the purchase of the equipment. two-year warranty and then with applicable discounts. What this does is it'll provide for a sort of a time clock system. We haven't decided exactly how that will be determined, whether it be whether you punch in and out or you have an access code or whatever the case may be. But these employees that are listed here in this group would actually go to a unit. They would check themselves in and check themselves out accordingly. So it would give us good tracking ability in terms of where they're at, when they arrive, or when they go home. Currently, we just have a sign-in and sign-out sheet, so it's more or less on the honor system. So this is a more, what we consider a better way to be able to track when and where our employees are at.
Is that, does somebody then take that sign-in sheet and then put it in? I mean, are we going to free up someone else's time?
Well, the bookkeeper, actually that comes into the buildings like at, the, like at Hadley here. Then they're turned over to the bookkeeper, actually the payroll person, the CSO, and they manually go through and add up all the hours and determine exactly what someone has is being paid, and then it's hand inputted. We believe this to be more of a seamless transition, and those two systems will sort of communicate to one another so we won't have sort of that hand entry system.
So does that mean someone now has that time to do something else, or is this a part-time person that's no longer needed?
No, this is a the payroll person. We have about 450, 470 people that she does payroll for throughout the year. We do expect it to result in less operating costs. We've talked about paper purchases and basically greater productivity.
That's the key. It will create greater efficiency in that office as opposed to the shuffling of papers and the possibility of error. It will make the job more manageable from an operational standpoint, but it won't reduce staff.
We don't anticipate reducing staff. But we do hope, and not that we're saying that there's a lot of errors, but occasionally there are some, and we're hoping to eliminate that potential.
Is this this $20,000 at one time? Are there any yearly service or contract fees?
This will be for 1 year. Excuse me. This is a one-time purchase price of $21,32, but it includes a two-year warranty. Year of after the purchase and then 1 year extended warranty. I believe the ongoing cost is about $1,500 a year.
So is this like a swipe card system or something?
Is a numeric keypad and a biometric combination.
Okay.
So the employees would be assigned 4-digit code plus their biometrics, and then it is seamlessly linked to our existing payroll system, so that there's no
software, new maintenance, or
no.
Okay.
No, this is strictly a hardware, but this hardware is specifically programmed for the Skyward payroll system, so that's where
seamless integration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there'll be an internal hierarchy of review. So the administrator on site at each building will have to review and then approve the time cards, and then they're put into the payroll system. So it becomes so there's no more manual entry. It becomes an electronic review and approval.
And is it one box per building?
Yes.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions on that recommendation? And we'll be bringing that to the board at our next meeting on March 11th. The next order of business then this evening will be the class size targets. And Lori Campbell is on hand to give us that review.
This is our annual recommendation for setting class size targets for the upcoming school year. The report that you see in front of you does not reflect a change from previous years, with the exception of just language and the fine write-up above the additional cost category that says based on board action relative to the same team proposal, additional consideration may be requested for establishing staffing for 13-14. So that's just in the event that we would need it, we would come back to you for that. But other than that, our class size target recommendations remain the same. Came to 20-22, 23-25 for grade 3, 25-27 for 4-5, and 26-28 for 6-8, and also maintaining lower class sizes at schools that have not met AYP for 2 years.
So the Churchill bubble, I guess I'll call it,
The Churchill what?
The Churchill bubble, where we had some smaller targets tracking through. Will that be a fifth grade, or will it be graduating?
We still have quite a few below target at Churchill. It's grades 3, 4, and 5. In fact, in grade 3, all except one section is below the target. Grade 4, they all are. In grade 5, they all are. And that was a decision based on not being AYP.
So it's not really a bubble as much it is a performance,
right.
And then making a decision about reducing the class size, which if you had a bubble, maybe you wouldn't have to reduce the class size because you might have a smaller group, or depending on how the size of the bubble, it could be the other way. Where
I guess by bubble I meant a very interested group of parents in a certain that I thought was working its way through.
And we still have those parents with us.
Okay.
I think some of them had kindergartners when we first started.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I thought it was like a bunch of third graders.
That's where it began. But yeah. Each year they brought someone new into the fold of that conversation.
Yeah. Okay. What we'd like to do this evening, if you're comfortable with this, is bring it forward for discussion also at the board, at the evening board meeting, and then action.
Because it's not a new proposal, we didn't feel it's something we do every year. It's more perfunctory than required the three-step process.
Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve?
Okay. Steve, you with us?
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with this going on to discussion at the board today?
Yeah. Not different than what we've done before, is it?
No.
Mm-mm. All right.
Okay, then the last item on the agenda this evening is the 2013 mid-year financial report. And I'll just run through this quickly in terms of where we are standing. Again, this is on a cash basis and is as of December 31st, 2012. So it is a little bit different than what you see in your month-to-month financial report, which resembles this spreadsheet, but isn't the exact. And the one that you have in your board packet is actually through the month of January. So I'm speaking specifically for the finance committee. Overall, we are approximately $1,155,000. We have less money received of $1,155,000, less than what we received in the last fiscal year for the same period of time. And where does that add up to? That comes from property taxes, about $493,000 left. Less personal property taxes, just a little bit more. Tuition actually is about $181,000 more than last year. But again, that's really just a timing issue. Transportation fees are practically even. Again, we're getting battered on interest earnings just because of historical low rates, which have been consistent now for the past several years. You do see the food services. We have about almost $110,000 more than last year, and that's because of the rollout of the food service system for the junior high as well as the elementary schools. Student fees are just about on track. Donations are about $56,000 left. Unrestricted state funds, that's a general state aid. That's about where we anticipated it, about $56,000 less than last year. And I believe they were apportioning that at about 93%. Does that sound about right, Phyllis?
Yeah.
Yeah, about 90. We expect to receive about 93% of what we did last year, so that number seems reasonable. Restricted state funds are about almost $732,000 less than last year. But I did want to mention, and I spoke with Phyllis earlier this evening, we did receive a check in the amount of about $415,000 in early January. So we're tracking about where we expect. It's just we never know what's going to really happen with state funding. Federal funds are about $41,000 left. And I did want to mention that when I give you these numbers and their percentages that are indicated in the written part of this board report, I always leave out the fund transfers. I'm only talking about actual dollars. What was taken in last year as opposed to what's taken in this year.
I eliminate the fund transfer lines both in the revenue areas and in the expenditures. Okay? All right, then we will move on to the expenditure line. And overall, expenditures are about $1,482,000 more than last year at this time. So where is that money coming from, or where are those expenditures, increased expenditures coming from? As you can see, salaries, we're only spending about $16,000 less than last year. Benefits are, you know, just about even with last year. Purchase services, we're about $471,000 over. Supplies and materials, about $452,000. Capital outlay is $386,000 more. Just a couple of comments there. That is, overall, we budgeted less in capital expenditures this year than we did the previous year. So, and then also, we finished that Hadley project earlier than we did the project 2 years ago. So I expect this number to remain pretty consistent. We'll continue to monitor purchase services and supplies and materials very carefully. Dues and fees, $7,200 more. Principal and interest, you know, we know what our principal and interest payments are. We make them twice a year in August and February. So we should be pretty solid with that number. Tuition, we have expended a little bit more, or $207,000 more than we had anticipated. It's a very difficult line item for us to track and determine, but we like to monitor it, and we do so throughout the year. And I think that's about it.
Bob, under purchase services, is this amount higher in part because of professional service fees for collective bargaining? I mean, was there a, I'm assuming that that's part of the bump?
That's part of it. That's part of legal fees. I put out there what they are, legal fees. That could be, that absolutely could be one of them. I noticed the legal bills were pretty substantial over the past 6 months, so so that's part of it.
Yeah.
So Bob, the total roll-up though, the $1.482 million, I know you say previous, but we change every year. How about compared to budget? How does that compare to budget?
The purchase service?
Well, no, you said expenditures have increased.
Oh, all expenditures.
Yeah, all total. I'm trying to figure out, is this something I should be worried about? Is this on track for our budget? Or
I would say it's on track for our budget. Purchase services, especially when we have that transfer type, that transportation issue in there, between, you know, regular transportation, it's a pretty solid number because we have an agreement in place with Illinois Central. What we had last year, and I'm noticing a little bit this year, a couple of things. Special ed transportation, and then also we've added the choice route. Routes are generally about $30,000 a year, so we've had to add one or two choice routes this year. And then homeless transportation, we've spent about $60,000 more than what we have previously for those items.
Right, but we already were choice last year, so we had choice routes, so did we add even more?
I believe we added one more choice route this year.
And then homeless, I know we had a large expenditure, and so the question is, I thought we bumped up the budget to compensate for that.
I did bump up the budget, so overall these expenditures are greater than last year, but they're tracking according to budget.
Okay, that's what I meant. Thank you.
That's what I'm hoping, what I'm anticipating.
Okay.
For tuition, Bob, is there any way to, it's a hard one to really put a number on. Is there a average that it fluctuates year on year, or is that really just you're throwing a dart at a target?
Kind of throwing a dart at a target. When we first start to sit down and look at our budget numbers, let's say we typically go up 3 or 4% every year. That's not the case with the tuition budget. It could go up 15%. It could go up 30%. We really never know where that line item is going to come in. It's all a function or a matter of how many kids are in a particular program.
We would be rare for us to see it go down.
Track with the number of special needs students? So if we have a projection that we're going to have, by registration, X percent of children come in that have some special needs that are going to need potentially tuition-based services?
Well, we can know if they're all currently in a tuition-based program.
Yeah, that would transfer to us, and then we would pick that
if we have a new student coming in. Mm-hmm. But sometimes students go into those services during the year.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I know we talked about this, but I hadn't, you know, thought about that, how it we track it or not.
Any other questions on the mid-year financial report? And hearing none, is there anything else that members of the committee would like to discuss this evening? Otherwise, we'll take a short break, and we're due to start in about 10 minutes again.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.